Hello, 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 and welcome to Candrastations. I am your host, Kandra Thomas Bell. Candrastations is a podcast where we dive into authentic and organic conversations with real people about their remarkable life experiences. Our goal is to empower and inspire as we explore the diverse paths of self-discovery, healing, and self-care that leads to overall wellness. So stay tuned for today's episode. Hello, hello, hello. This is your host, Kandra with Kandrastations, and we just want to let you know that guess what? We're on part two of the relationship series featuring Kiara Doty and Nicholas Sylvester. So sit back and take a listen.
What you think about, let me ask you this, Nicholas.
Okay.
How has it been for you running to dating these high achieving women? Mm. Or have you dated any of them that seem like, because sometimes women can't, because they've been higher end on some stuff, their scope of life is so expensive.
Right.
That even as a man, it's not that you can't do it, you don't want to do it. You don't want to see your money go down the drain like that. So, I'm just being honest.
And yeah, for sure.
We don't think about that. We don't think about that, but that is true sometimes. Because even when one of my aunts on my husband's side, she asked me, said, you still work? I said, yeah, I got some expensive habits. And I do. And because they're not necessities, I don't ask for, that ain't the thing that my husband has to do for me.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
What's been your experience with? Because, you know, they say that Black women are the highest, the most educated.
Consumers. Oh.
Yeah, no, but yeah, we consume a lot of stuff. We gonna go get it. And
right.
But what does that look like for a man with traditional values in terms of relationship?
Yeah. I would say it'll first, for that aspect, deprogramming will have to be a thing. So it's kind of like along the lines of what you and Kiara spoke on, in terms of, you know, always having to like rely on yourself for like every single thing. And then when you get that man that's willing to step in and fill those voids, that's like a foreign language to some of you. But for y'all's case, you know, y'all learned how to adapt. Y'all were able to, you know, receive it a lot more and even better. So, 'cause I remember I ran into that situation once before myself with a young lady that I dated, and it was along those same lines, and I just explained to her, like, man, if you just let me be there for you, then this wouldn't be a headache for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I felt that one.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just let a brother be there for you, and that won't be a headache. But you know that'll have to. So for the woman, she would just have to really get to that space in her mind to say, all right, I'm gonna ride in this passenger seat, bro. Do your thing.
I love it. I don't want to drive. I done drove for a lot of years. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And you know what? And I'm sure this would be a topic another day. But to piggyback off of what Nick said, it's so hard for women to be able to take the passenger seat and let the man take control when they have grinded on their own for so long. They rather have that headache than anticipate being let down. And that is so unfair.
Yeah.
That we have experienced so much hurt that we would rather continue to hurt than let somebody do offer us a hand.
Mm. Yeah. That's heavy. You know what I'm saying? So and that falls into the dating world too.
Yeah.
Like you said, you dealt with hurt and pain throughout the duration of your lifespan. That's all that you know.
Yep.
So any person that walks into your path that's looking like a potential, like significant other, if you will, if you're dating with those kind of intentions, you quick to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
You quick to shut it down. And so that's like what I told my cousin the other weekend. We was having a whole round table discussion. it was me, him, and his wife. And we was just talking about these different things and talking about this very kind of topic. And mm-hmm. I said, how do you expect to get love when you show none? Mm-hmm. And how do you expect for somebody to have interest in you when you don't show no interest?
Yep. It's like we continue, and this is as a society, like we continue to expect things from people that we aren't even doing ourselves.
Right.
Oh, this is good. So I got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this for Nick, because I know how me and a lot of some women, I ain't gonna say a lot, some women think about this. But what are guys talking at the gym and the barbershop about the stressors of dating and these women who want a lot up front early?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious to know.
I got you. So look, I put it in context like this. So you said with the women that wants the whole alphabet category in the very beginning, right?
Yeah, they want all the.
So that's like applying for a job that you have no experience in. Mm. You get into this interview with HR department.
Mm-hmm.
And now y'all talking numbers, salary, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you say, yeah, I want six figures worth. Mm-hmm. Well, ma'am, you have zero experience in this field. Getting six figures worth is not a thing.
Yeah.
You have no experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you have that says you've earned that type of earning?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, and you're right, me and the homies, we have these kind of conversations all the time.
I know, let them bring them to the stage. We're trying to help people get married, break down these walls,
and help people get
healthy relationships.
Right, absolutely. So it's like for the first date, you expect for this man to go above and beyond for you on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most delusional thing that you can ever think of. Reason being, I don't even know if I like you. You don't even know if you like me.
Right.
So why am I going above and beyond on the first date? And all we're going to be doing is what? Getting to know each other, hopefully. And the reason why I say hopefully is because a lot of people go to first dates with the pure intention of just to get a free meal, just to get a free drink. I'm going to do the bare minimum because I know I'm not paying for this date. Like, you're automatically not even giving the date a for real shot at being something solid,
right?
In the long run, you know what I'm saying? So you're thinking short term immediately. You're not looking at the long term.
Mm.
So yeah, that's
that's why when I was in the dating world, I don't want to go nowhere to eat. I want to either go to the parking lot or go to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to leave there feeling like I owe you anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I want to hear what your conversation like, because I can't hear you in a bar.
Right.
I can't hear you real good in a restaurant, depending on where we at, especially if they got music and stuff playing. So it's just me looking at you looking at me, and me halfway hearing every third word of what you're saying.
Constantly in the running, huh?
So I'm not trying to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm big on communication. And it just didn't feel authentic for me. That's just like some of the young ladies who I, you know, I work with in therapy. I tell them all the time, I said, you got to approach this dating thing as what are you in it? If you just acquaintance, getting to know somebody, you go to the Starbucks. Or not even go, what the Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. Starbucks is for something a little greater. Because I'm a Starbucks.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Then when you start the kind of dating and stuff, and you know, Atlanta's big and people live all over the place, like, why are you always driving, you know, 45 minutes to where somebody else is? And then you're drinking and you got to go back home. Mm-hmm. I said, you need to find a way to meet in the middle pick something on your side of town sometimes, because what you're going to say when you come back from therapy, if you done did this for 6 weeks, I did all this and I did. Well, why did you do all of that?
Yep. And
why did you do all of that?
I think that's one of the things that bothers me a lot. And I'm going to say relationships in general, not just boyfriend, girlfriend. It's always once you feel some type of way that you want to bring up what you did. Didn't nobody tell you to do all that?
Right.
Right.
And it's not genuine either.
Thank you. You did this on your own. And now because you feel like they should know, it should be reciprocated. Now you in your feelings.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can always measure whether it was given from a good intent or not. Mm-hmm. Because the good intent was like, oh, okay. No big deal. Because I would have did it for anybody anyway. But if you're doing it to, you know, get checked off in HR, as Nick may say, you want your resume at the top. I mean, I get it, but can you keep it up?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because, I mean, if you're in the beginning of your relationship and you're dating, of course you're just going to be doing stuff for one another because it's puppy love at that point. That's what we all do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But once you make it, once y'all jump a couple of fences and get over the puppy love, and we both having rough days, now am I gonna feel like, oh well, now he need to, you know, hold up his end of the bargain, huh?
What is that?
Exactly. What is that bargain? Because these are unrealistic expectations that we're placing on people.
My favorite phrase that I use, I got it from Jen Hatman, that says expectations are resentments waiting to happen.
Exactly.
But then, you know, I've added my caveat to it, which is this: expectations without communication and agreement causes resentment to happen. So if you're going to have an expectation, be able to communicate that expectation and ask, what are they willing to do or what can they do? Because your expectation may be so far unrealistic that they never can match it.
Exactly.
And to add to that, these expectations that we sometimes have on people is like a mirror. We're expecting us out of other people.
Out of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in most cases. Huh?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Nah, I was just going to say, and in most cases, that's not going to be reciprocated depending on the type of people or the individual that you're dealing with.
Yep. Right. At least it's going to be short-lived anyway.
Yep. And this, what I tell everybody that I talk to about expectations are the easiest way to get your feelings hurt.
Yeah, for real.
I think I'm ready to close the podcast now.
Seriously.
My feelings hurt now.
Yeah, you felt that, huh? You felt that, huh?
I did. I felt it in the core of my inner being.
Yeah, man. That's definitely a gateway to them all hurt feelings.
Hurt feelings. And it's like, you mad at them, but guess what? You did this to yourself.
You're mad at yourself. You're really mad at yourself.
Because that person didn't know they was going to have to pay you back. You gave it to them because they mentioned they was having financial problems. You said, oh, here you go. They didn't tell you they were giving that back. Mm-hmm. And they didn't ask you for it.
Ooh. Well, let the church say amen. Tithes and offering will be picked up at this point. I think we need to make this all the building fund because we're rebuilding our thought processes.
The building fund. Y'all know about that building fund.
We're building on what these expectations is.
And expectations align so perfect with relationships. Because you can't go into relationships expecting them to be just like you, because your journey before you got to that relationship may not be the same as theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And which means you could possibly be dealing with an unhealed person. So you expecting an unhealed person to have healthy behaviors. Sorry, not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hard truth I had to learn. Ooh.
I did too.
Yeah, man.
We all done had that issue. Especially for Kendra, I know for sure. She is in the president of the president of a Build-A-Bear.
I'm retired.
That old Build-A-Bear.
You know, like, man, oh, here's my new project. Let me build you up.
I love that analogy. Oh my goodness.
I retired. God bless me with a man that is built to perfection for me. All I got to do is sit down and call him in the garage.
Killing me with his garage.
Now. Hey, baby, the garage ain't letting down again. Oh, so you learned your lesson now, huh?
I have learned my lesson. I'm going to call him first. But I called him, he just didn't answer. But then by then, I had a whole problem. So I had to get it fixed.
See, patience.
Yes.
Well, I patiently waited
for a man.
But he'll be there right on time.
He was on time to keep up and spending that money. He was right
but
on
you
time.
Know what's so funny when you say that build a bad thing? Mm-hmm. I can speak to that in terms of relationship, because I was so broken on my own journey that it was easier to find somebody and fix them up instead of doing my own work.
Yep.
But when I start doing my own work, I'm not fixing nobody.
This is time
not when it's talking about relationship and dating. I'm not doing that. You don't even and that's the whole thing, because once I started doing my own work before I got married and I was in the dating scene, it was like, oh, you're gonna be judging me, you're gonna be trying. No, I'm not, because I'm assessing you, yes. But I am not fixing you at all.
I'm assessing you so I know how.
I'm assessing you so I can know if this is even worth my time.
Mm-hmm.
But once I started doing my own work and my own inner work and healing and saw why I was trying to fix people, build a bear, restoration, and, you know, set people up to be great husbands, because, you know, it's something about that, you know, I put in some work and they're great husbands. And shout out to those, they know who they are, if you're listening. But what I'm saying is, I had to do my own work. Mm-hmm. And when I did my own work, the lenses look so different. Like, I'm not in the business of fixing up nobody.
Right.
I'm retired. I retired from that.
That's real.
Well, you didn't catch me before 40.
It's over.
Sorry.
I'm about 40. Turning 40, it shifted everything like instantaneously. I think it started to hit me about 38. I started looking at things, people, situations very differently. But at 40, I like to call it the promised land, because that's how long children of Israel was in the valley, and the promised land was right there. It was right there. And when they got there, all the stuff that they were looking for was right there. And so at 40, it's like, I'm not worried about what people think of me like that no more.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
it don't consume me. I mean, you're gonna think something about me, you're gonna think something about you, you're gonna think something about everybody. That's just right. That's just it. That's just how the world moves, whether it's good, mm-hmm. bad, or indifferent. But the thing is, I had to work on being so internally whole that what people think
don't bother me.
Does not bother me at all. Mm-hmm. And so then I realized that, oh, this fella got this issue. Oh, that's not going to work for me. Oh, you think you're going to text and call me all day long? I'm working. I don't have time to text and call you all day long. I'm not doing it. These are the times I'm available. Oh, you too busy for a relationship? Well, if you can't work around my schedule, I guess I am.
You know?
That's it. I can tell you my availability because the people who I serve as clients, when they're talking to me, it's their time. They're paying me to do that. So no, I'm not. You can't be texting me after 5 o'clock. I'm not answering. That ain't happening. So. Those are my boundaries, and people don't like it when you're not as available as they would like you to be.
As they think you should be. Like, you don't dictate my time. Mm-hmm.
And the misconception of working from home, it still got work even though I'm at home. Work is work from home is work first. It don't say at home and working. It's work from home. So if I'm at work at home, I'm still working. Just because I'm not in your office. So. I'm you can say all that you want to, Gear, but I have been rehabilitated and retired, and I am pulling my other sisters out along the way.
Good. Thank you so very much.
Now you actually called me to the carpet.
Well, look, I couldn't think of any other way to get my point across with what I was trying to say. And that just popped up. You know I love you.
I know. If I was still in there, that would be...
Building some bears. Building some bears.
I'm great. I'm proud of this chick. This chick done put in some work.
You have.
Since 2016, I done put in a lot of work. Yep.
You definitely have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's that. Nicholas,
what's up?
How do I say this without saying it?
I'm curious what you're about to say. I was thinking of next too. So I'm curious if it's the same thing I was along thinking of.
You go.
Nope.
Y'all got some.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure we're on the same page.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so one of my, the girl who was doing my facial today, she says to me, cute little young girl, she said, she was saying that she wasn't consistent or she don't do stuff and her self-talk was real negative. And I was kind of talking to her and she said, I want bigger hips. I said, well, why do you want bigger hips? And she said, because the men like the girls with the hips. And all of that stuff. And I said, well, but is that what you want for you? And she said, I don't know. I said, what about just being whole on the inside? And so she's young and she says, you know, physical appearance is the most important thing. It can be to somebody that's just want to physically engage with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But this is what I likened it to. And I told her, I said, like, there's nothing with having a beautiful body, whether you built it, whether you bought it, whether you, you know, whatever, however you got it. Mm-hmm. However, some men, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, they want something beautiful to look at, but they may not want everything that's exaggerated because other men are going to be exaggerating and lusting after their partner too. And that might be something for them. Is that true or false?
So when you say exaggerating, you talking about like showing it off?
No, I'm talking about it being bigger than life.
It and the enhancements.
The super duper.
Oh, I got you. So Yeah, I remember having a conversation like this before one point of time. And with that, a lot of men, I can't speak for every single one.
Right.
But if you ask me on a scale of 9 to 10, I'm pretty sure that 9 to 10 will want that woman to be natural more than anything.
Okay.
So the enhancements, as Kiara put it.
As I put
for, it. Yeah. So, I mean, so for most men, even for myself, that's not a necessity because I'm more so of the, if you just eat right and really hit the gym and figure out what exercises are going to work for your body type, you can get the physique that you want. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sit on somebody's table and pray to God that you're going to wake up off that table and live a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that. So, to me, this is just my opinion when I say this. So, to me, the women that do that, they do that for themselves. And then the added attention may not be the attention that they really want.
Right. I can go for that.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're doing it to do it for yourself, yes. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing it because you, that ain't always the reason.
Yeah, right. Because you can attract unwanted attention.
Right.
Hence to the type of clothing that's being worn at times. Yeah, mm-hmm. you got the right to wear whatever you desire. However, comma, be prepared for the type of attention that's going to come along with that.
Right.
Like, be ready for that.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering because she was so young and she was so impacted by it. And I just wanted to make sure that the information I was providing her was at least on the right street. That's what
I'm for sure. Think about it. No doubt. But that's
because I ain't never been no man, don't want to be no man, anything like that. But I just, because I got you on this podcast.
Yeah.
We needed your kingdom expertise.
right. But you know, to me, that just sounds like a self-esteem issue right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because she couldn't even tell you why she wanted it for real. She,
yeah.
Her first thing was appearance is everything. Yeah, appearance plays a part, but that's not the end all be all.
Yeah.
I want to know what your mind like when you open your mouth. I'm paying attention to that more than anything.
I'm going to, I guess, ask or questions, make a statement. I don't know which one. So Timothy's best friend was over a couple of weekends ago, and Timothy and I were talking, and it was kind of along these lines. And I asked them the question, how can a young lady be comfortable in the dating world with her natural body when the people that she either hang around or in her age bracket, they make it known on social media that they like something completely opposite of her.
Mm-hmm. Now with that, that comes with, I would say, being comfortable with who you are and knowing who you are and not falling for the propaganda, because that's propaganda if you just want to be technical about it. Pushing that whole narrative of get the surgery, do this, this, and that. If you're comfortable with yourself and you know who you are, you know, if you believe in the higher power that, you know, God made you who you are, like you are a goddess, that shouldn't faze you.
You got everything
that's natural, and especially if you got the physique that everybody wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is there to think differently about?
Mm.
Like, you have the it factor that everybody else wants.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I know you guys really enjoyed part 2 on the relationship series with Nick and Kiara. So just stay tuned. We have more for you on the way. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I am signing off. This is your host, Kiara. Kendra Thomas Bell, and I just like to let you know, if you are in need of therapy, I am a licensed therapist in Atlanta, Georgia. You can reach us at dynamicchangecc.com. If you would like to find another therapist, you can try Therapy for Black Girls as a directory. You can also try Clinicians of Color as a directory. And if you are looking for a male therapist in the Metro Atlanta area, please reach out to Counseling Brothers of Atlanta for your therapy needs. We look forward to helping you through your journey. This is not a substitute for therapy. We wish everyone to have an individual and a collective journey for therapy, healing, and self-discovery. So thank you for listening to Kendra Sessions. See you on the next episode.